In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and became the Word alive. Today, His words are being shared by the radio ministry of Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, sponsored by the Redeeming Love Christian Center of Nanuet, New York. Join Clinton and Sarah Utterbach now on Listen to Jesus.
Listen to Jesus. Say what Jesus said. Keep looking at Jesus. And do what Jesus did, and it will turn your life around. And you will turn this world around.
Hello, I'm Sarah Utterbach.
I'm Clinton Utterbach.
Today we're going to be concluding the message, Expected Conduct in God's House. You know, if you don't have something that you expect, you don't ever expect to receive anything, because you have to first, we as leaders have to establish a code of ethics, conduct, dressed, whatever, not only for ourselves, just going out of the house, around the house, going to the store, but because we're representing Jesus, but because in addition to that, when you come into the assembly, so many people are coming from different backgrounds and attitudes and cultures and so many things that get convoluted, that we the leadership, need to establish what is acceptable in this assembly, as well as our own homes, as well as what God would be pleased with based on the Word of God. And if you go with the Bible, you'll never be out of order.
Back in the late 1930s, there was a radio preacher by the name of Billy Sunday, who was a Billy Graham type person who had, you know, quite a bit of popularity over the radio. And I'm told that some FBI men got wind that a group of people were using a warehouse in one of these areas of Chicago to do, you know, illicit business. And they needed a stakeout, but the area was such that it was impossible to just sit there in a car, you know, night after night and watch them. So this FBI man opened up a storefront church directly across the street from this warehouse. He came in, he imitated Billy Graham preaching, Billy Sunday preaching, and over a period of time, many people got saved. Are you listening to me? He was not saved. But he imitated Billy Sunday preaching, and these people got saved. And one day, they came to church, and the door was locked. He was gone. And they didn't know what happened, but in the meantime, the gangsters in the warehouse were arrested because he'd stayed there long enough to get all the information that he needed. So I only tell you that because there are all kind of flim-flam situations going on. And if you believe that a person could not be in the pulpit without being saved, you're sadly mistaken. But some of the things make me laugh, because when I was growing up in church, similar kinds of thing, not to the degree that this person talks about, but similar kinds of things happen. Offerings that took an hour to take up because they would have some kind of goal in mind. We have to get $1,000. Who's going to give 50? And they'd have the $50 line, and the $25 line, and the $10 line. And finally, when they got down to the peanuts, they'd have a peanut line. You know what I mean? The little change, you know?
And there was always the one, especially with the $50 bill, that would wait until everybody else had given theirs, and then they'd come down at the last minute, decided that God had touched their heart now, and they
we had this one brother. He did that every single time they had a special offering. Because as a kid, I could sit there and wait, you know, and I'd count to 10. I said, now, and here you come, you know. And he would always, because back in those days, we were coming out of depression, people didn't have good jobs and weren't making much money, but he had his own plumbing business. So he'd come, and the whole idea was to impress the bishop. Put down this $50 bill. $50 more than some people made in a whole week back in those days, you know? But my point is, this kind of thing happens because people will not open their Bibles and read it, number one. Number two is because people are superstitious And a good charismatic leader, a person that is knowledgeable of human nature, can manipulate an audience at will. I used to do it with the choir. I remember I went to Pittsburgh one time, back during the 60s when all the civil rights unrest. They told us that we were going to Pittsburgh to do this concert outdoors. Fine, you know. We got there. A guy came up to the bus, stopped the bus before we got in this district, told the white bus driver to get out. He couldn't come in there. They put a black bus driver in the bus and drove us into this area. You asked me why I still went. Well, there was nowhere else for me to go at that point. We got up on the stage and started to sing, and all these black people were sitting out there, and they wanted to know where we were coming from, so they just sat there. So I came out there and started giving my narrative about, you know, scriptural things in the Bible, and they just sat there. But I looked over in this area, about the third row, and that's right, there was a mama, if you know what I mean.
Mama was sitting there. You know about the mama of the church.
Mama was sitting there like this. So at some point, I walked over and I said, "Ain't that right, mama?" She said, "Go ahead, boy." And the meeting was on.
Yeah.
Because she was the one controlling what the crowd did.
That's right.
Now, that mentality exists in many places,
today.
Not just the South.
Today.
All over the world, that mentality exists. And a person who knows how to manipulate people can come in and make people do stuff that when you read about it like that, you said, how could they do that? But you'd have to be there and be in the climate of what's going on to understand it's a self-perpetuating thing, that if you step out of line, you are ostracized by all the members there, you know? So you can't come against the leader. And you say, well, why don't they just leave? Because some people have no identity other than that group, and they feel if they leave, they have nobody. So they put up with all this garbage rather than go find themselves a life. In many respects, some of our largest organized religions today have the same kind of control over the constituents in their group. I talk to them. They hate this church, but they go there because their mother and their father and this one and that one went there, and if they didn't go there, they'd have to put up with the stuff out of their families, so they just go. But they hate the place. And the truth, what do we say? The church is supposed to support and transmit the truth to its generation. And so I think at some point I'm going to have to divulge some information that I read in a book so people will really understand how some things like Easter began to be called Easter instead of Resurrection Day. And to put it simply, at one point in time, the Roman Emperor Constantine decided he would embrace Christianity. Not necessarily because he had become a Christian, because he felt that it was easier to join them than to fight them. And he declared Christianity to be the religion of the realm and put crosses on the shields of his soldiers. But coming from the East was a pagan leader that he was going to have to fight. And history tells us that Constantine met with this man and agreed to merge with him. And so when this particular religion that came out of the Roman Empire got started, it incorporated all kinds of pagan symbols, including the worship of the mother of the one who is worshiped.
You think people don't get together and conspire. Competitors do it. I worked for a very large corporation, and annually they would get together with their competitors to establish what the salaries would be for particular jobs. And while you may work for Company A, they agreed that if you were, let's say, an entry-level secretary, your salary range would be between this amount and that amount, and they all agreed on it. So it didn't make any difference whether you left Company A to go to work for Company B. You weren't going to make any more money than this. And that's why your dependency must be on God. Okay? It must be on God. What did he say over there in Hebrews 13? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that with confidence. In other words, I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you, because I want you to have the confidence to say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. I will not, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, if you go back over there to Timothy, it says all of this was being taught. We're having these Wednesday night sessions with you so that you, if we tarry or if we don't show up back from Israel, we get raptured from there, whatever the case may be, we want you to know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. There's no wonder about what godliness is in the church. Godliness is simply God manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on in the world. Selah.
We feel honored that God has granted us the privilege of bringing you today's message. Our commitment to share the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ deepens daily.
Listen to Jesus is heard on 5 of the earth's 7 continents, but there is still more land to be possessed for the kingdom of God. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus gave the directive to go into all the world and make disciples of men. We were motivated to do just that through the Listen to Jesus broadcasts.
If you're interested in a cassette copy of this week's broadcast, send in $6, making your checks and money orders payable to Redeeming Love Christian Center.
If you live in the United States, you may also use your Visa or MasterCard by calling our toll-free number at 888-490-RLCC. That's 888-490-RLCC. If you have access to the internet, you may listen to the broadcast at any time on www.redeeminglovecc.org. That's www.redeeminglovecc.org.
And if the teaching you hear on this program is having a positive effect on your life, you have an opportunity and a spiritual responsibility to join us as co-laborers by becoming a regular contributor.
When you give, God blesses you with a financial return according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Mail all of your correspondence and make your financial contributions payable to Redeeming Love Christian Center, Post Office Box 577, Nanuet, N-A-N-U-E-T, New York, 10954. Once again, that's Redeeming Love Christian Center, Post Office Box 577, Nanuet, N-A-N-U-E-T, New York, 10954. And remember to include the call letters of this station when you write. Until next time, this is Clinton Utterbach.
I'm Sarah Utterbach.
And we're reminding you, God is alive and well,
and His word will work for you.